I'll ask you if you will turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. We are working our way together through the Gospel of Luke under the heading, The Good News of God, according to Luke. Tonight I want to encourage you to be ready for Christ's return. Again, our text this evening, we're continuing in the Gospel of Luke. We come tonight to chapter 12, beginning with verse 35. Let's hear God's word. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. So you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him in with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. The reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, as you taught the people by the sea, as you ministered to your disciples in the midst of the crowds, so teach us, Lord, instruct us, teach us in such a way that we hear, teach us in such a way that we learn, teach us, Lord, in such a way that we grow. Father, we ask you to bless your word to us, for we come in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we mentioned the Epiphany, that is the second coming of Christ, the appearing of Christ in his glory. We mentioned how Christ has come once in humility, in suffering and weakness, how Christ came in the form of a servant, how he took on flesh and he came to save sinners, but then he will come again in glory. He will appear in splendor and we'll see him as he is, some call that the Epiphany, the appearing of Christ, when at last we will see him in his full splendor and glory. Well, tonight we sort of want to pick up on that thought and encourage you to be ready for that. Be ready for Christ's return. Again, our text is from Luke chapter 12. We're just picking up where we left off last time with verse 35. Jesus says, stay dressed for action. And the expression there literally is gird up your loins. In the ancient world, men commonly wore long robes. That was the fashion. That was considered appropriate. That was considered stately, appropriate and significant. And that was fine, except when men needed to do something very active. When you had to be moving about, when you were going to be really busy, you don't want long robes that you would have to possibly trip over or get tangled into. Under normal circumstances, the longer the robes, the more stately, the more dignified. But during certain times, you need to be able to move freely. You would take the long end of your robe and you'd pull it up and you'd tuck it into your belt. You gird up your loin so that you're ready to be able to work freely. We would say, roll up your sleeves, you know, get ready, roll up your sleeves. Jesus says, gird up your loins, or as it's translated here, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. You remember Motel 6 used to have that famous commercial. They would say, we'll keep the light on for you. And the idea was that here you are, a weary traveler, you're driving down the interstate, who knows where you are, it's dark and maybe it's rainy or something, and the good folks at Motel 6 have not gone to bed, but they are alert, they're waiting, they're watching, they got the light on for you, they're ready to welcome you in. That's kind of the image here. Jesus says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, keep the lights on, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. Sometimes there's such a difference between life in the ancient world and our lives today. Sometimes we miss some of the imagery. So we need to be sure that we understand our own mind. Most people in the ancient world did not have servants. In fact, more people were servants than had servants. But if you did have servants, you were wealthy. You were powerful. You were significant. You were a notable somebody. You were a very significant person. And so the master here in this parable is apparently someone of great significance. He is a wealthy, a powerful, significant man. He has these servants. And he's gone off to a wedding feast. That wouldn't be unusual. At a wedding feast, you would invite notable men like this, wealthy men. And so he has gone to a wedding feast. Feasts were often in the evening, and you don't know how long they might go. But also, feasts could go on, wedding feasts could go on for days. And so perhaps the image is that he'll come back perhaps late at night, we don't know when, and maybe return the next day. Or perhaps the wedding feast is at some distance. We don't know the details. Jesus is just making the point that we're like the servants, and the master is away, and we don't know what time he's going to return, but he says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. In other words, this master, this great man, when he finally comes home, he doesn't want to find the house dark. He doesn't want to find himself locked out. He doesn't want to stand and knock and knock and knock until he can finally get somebody's attention. If you're one of his servants, and a wealthy man like this would be able to afford the best servants of all, you want to be ready. You don't know what time he's going to show up. You don't know what his needs are going to be. Is he going to be tired? Is he going to be weary? You're going to have his bed ready, perhaps his bed clothes laid out, but maybe he's going to have a taste for something. Maybe you'll have a huge hot meal, but you don't know what he might want. So maybe you also have something light over here. Maybe there's some soup on the stove. You're going to have all kind of things happening because you want to be ready. And all the servants are going to be, they've got their aprons on, they got their robes tucked into their vest, they got their sleeves rolled up, and they got the lamps on, and they are ready so that when they hear the sound at the door, they can welcome him in and ushering him to the table. That's what good servants would do. Jesus says, I want you to be like that. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Interestingly, I think it's interesting, there are a number of scholars who think Jesus is just saying, be ready for anything. They think that's what he's talking about. Just be ready for anything. Be ready for anything that might come your way. Be ready for any crisis. Some people believe that he's sort of preparing them for his crucifixion. You know, they can't imagine at this point that Christ is going to be crucified. And so some scholars believe that's what Jesus is doing. He's preparing them for whatever dangers and crises might come in life, and in particular, the fact that that Christ is going to be crucified. But I think as we get into the passage, I think it's quite clear that he's talking specifically about being prepared for the second coming. Be prepared for the return of Christ. In fact, later on, he's going to be quite explicit about that. He said, the Son of Man is coming in a time when you don't expect. I think it's quite clear. He's talking about being ready for Christ's epiphany, for his being revealed, his appearance. He says something really striking here. He says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. So when the master comes home and he finds the house is well lit and warm and inviting and his servants are all ready, they greet him at the door and they usher him in. Blessed are those servants. And the image there is that he will be pleased to find that his servants are ready and prepared. They haven't slacked off. They haven't gone to bed. He's going to bless the servants and treat them well. And certainly, you would hope in most cases that as the servants usher the master in and sit him to the table, that the master would have some kind words for the servants who were ready and prepared. But Jesus goes further than that. And he says something in this parable that it probably wouldn't happen in real life, but is meant to illustrate what will happen when Christ comes again. He says, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table. And he will come and serve them." Well, that's hard to imagine happening in real life, but that's the image he uses, that when Christ comes back, it'll be like a master coming home in the middle of the night, and he's so pleased to see his servants ready. He's so pleased to see the lamps are still lit and the servants are there and the food is ready. He'll be so pleased that the master will gird up his loins. The master will put a towel around his waist. And the master will invite the servants to the table. And the master will feed them. And what Jesus is communicating to us is that if you are ready when the Lord comes back, you will be blessed. He says it, what, three times? Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. I say to you, he'll dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he'll come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Well, Jewish people divided the night into three watches. Okay, so if you were a soldier and you had to stand guard, well, there would be three different groups. And the first group would stand guard for a certain amount of hours, and then the next group would come in. It'd be like us saying the second shift or the third shift. Jesus says, if the master comes in the second watch or in the third, that is really late at night, and he finds his servants awake, blessed are those servants. He's emphasizing the fact that when Christ comes back, if you are ready, you are going to be blessed. I think it's striking because in some traditions, in some Christian traditions, the second coming is described as something dreadful. Something for Christians to fear and dread, something horrible. But the picture here is that for those servants who are ready, it's going to be a time of great blessing. Jesus uses the image of him ministering to us. And isn't that what happened really at the last, the Passover meal? Where Jesus is at the head of the table, he's the rabbi, he's the guest of honor, and yet he got up from the table and he wrapped a towel around his waist and took a basin and he made himself a servant and ministered to washing the feet of the saints. It's kind of the same image here. He says when he comes back, if you're ready for him, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be invited to the table. And he actually uses that image in a number of places. Blessed are those who come from east and west and sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Revelation, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. And the idea is that when Christ returns, if you're ready, you're going to be blessed. It's going to be wonderful. It's not something to dread. It's something to be excited about and to look forward to. He couldn't use any stronger language to describe the blessing that will be ours if we're ready when Christ returns. But then he changes the image a little bit, and he says, but know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. Someone texted me a couple weeks ago and said that there had been some break-ins on Hitchener Avenue. And sure enough, about a week later, Bridgeton City Police released a statement. Apparently, there have been a number of break-ins, not just on our street, but in our neighborhood and in several neighborhoods. And they were working with the state police. They've already arrested one fellow, and many other arrests are forthcoming or something like that. So obviously, they have some suspects in mind. Anyway, long story short, I guess it was Friday, Mark Locason texted me and said, hey, I was watching Fox News Philadelphia, and I saw the church on the news. And my first thought was, Mark, you live in Florida. Why are you watching Philadelphia news? But he says, be careful. I hear there's a lot of break-ins. But the church sure did look good on the video. So we were able to find the video, and it was kind of interesting. They had a camera crew. It was kind of here at the corner of Hitchner and Osborne, and they interviewed a few people who were out walking. And one of the ladies is a lady we've met over the years, walks the neighborhood. She said, it's kind of scary. She said, my husband and I are almost afraid to leave the house empty. Because this is what these guys have been doing. They've been hitting houses between 5 and 10 o'clock at night that are obviously empty, that are dark, and they cut the electricity in case there's any kind of alarm system to disable, and then they break into the house while people are gone. She said, you know, we almost hate to leave the house alone, leave it empty, because you never know when these people might break in. Well, that's his point here. Okay, he's left aside the whole image of the master who went off to the wedding feast. He's kind of just making a different point. He's saying, listen, thieves show up unexpected. You never know. And he's clearly talking about the return of Christ, okay, because he says, you also must be ready. The Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. And it's interesting because Jesus is the one who uses that image, but the Apostle Paul picks up on it. And there's a number of places where Paul says, Christ is coming like a thief in the night. In other words, at a time and an hour, we don't know when. I find it interesting because very, very often, people will say to me, I know there's no way of knowing. But don't you think Christ is coming soon? And it's surprising how often people have said that to me over the years. I know there is no way, but I know. Don't you think he's coming soon? Historically, I don't believe there's never been a century in which at least some Christians didn't think Christ was coming right then. It's just something throughout history you can find. There's always been Christians who always thought surely Christ was coming right then in their lifetime. In the year 999, it was the end of the millennium. Christians were convinced. Surely, the year 1000, Christ is coming back. During the Napoleonic Wars, people were absolutely convinced in Europe, oh, absolutely, Christ must be coming back. It's just been something throughout history. Christians have always felt, surely now, he's coming back. And Jesus says, you just don't know. It might be the second or third hour of the night, the second or third watch of the night. In other words, it might be late. Of course, maybe we're in the second or third watch of the night. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus said this. But the point is, we don't know. And it could be tonight. Could be noon tomorrow. It's interesting. While some people always seem to be convinced Christ is coming in any minute, for sure, sometimes other Christians, we just fall into habits, routines. And we really can't imagine Christ ever kind of coming back in our lifetime. We assume, well, sure, it's going to happen one day, but probably, well, who knows, way after I'm gone. And we don't know that either. We don't know that it's going to come really soon, but we don't know that it's come a long way off. We don't know when it's going to happen. But Jesus says, be ready. Be ready because you don't know when it's going to happen. Now, we could almost end there. There are many Christians who would end there, and they would say, you know, you need to be ready by being saved. Be ready by trusting in Jesus. Be ready by repenting of your sin and confessing. Be ready by being born again, and certainly that's true. If you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, you're not ready for him to come again. No question about that. But it's interesting that at least in this passage, Jesus takes things in a different direction. He says to be ready for his return by staying busy with the Lord's work. Look at verse 41. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? Okay, remember the situation? We keep repeating this each week. At the beginning of the chapter, Luke says there's so many thousands of people gathered there that they're practically trampling each other. And yet, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus was just talking to his disciples. And it's as if he's trying to talk to his disciples and warn them about hypocrisy, but the crowds keep pressing in. They want to hear as well. And then we saw that someone from the crowd pushed forward and says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And at that point, it seems that Jesus turns to the crowd and says, Beware of covetousness. But then we saw last week, he turns back to his disciples and says, don't be anxious. And so it seems that in spite of all the crowds, and who knows how many are listening and how many are trying to hear and who can hear what, it seems Jesus is really focused on talking specifically to his disciples. And now he says to be ready for his return. And Peter says, wait a minute, Lord, are you talking to us? Or are you talking to them? Are you talking to everybody? And I think perhaps what Peter is thinking, Lord, we're ready, right? We're your disciples. You know? We are. Why are you? You must be talking to those people. And the Lord says, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Okay, we're going back to the parable, the image of the master with the large household and the many servants. You know, different servants had different roles, especially in this large estate. And some, for example, worked in the fields and some washed dishes, but others were managers in charge of other servants. And so Jesus says, who is the faithful and the wise manager that the master sets over the household? You know, who is the servant who's over the other servants, who's in charge? And Jesus seems to be using this as an image for the 12 disciples. I mean, other than Judas, they're going to go on to be the apostles. They're going to be the leaders over God's household. We saw that in 1 Timothy, that the church is often described as God's household. And the elders, the leaders, are called managers of the household of God. And so that he seems to be using that image that, well, we're all God's servants, but these 12 are going to be the managers overseeing the other servants. He says, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So the picture again is that the master comes home at an unexpected hour, late at night. He's pleased to find the house is well lit, that all the servants were ready. They greet him at the door, and he's going to bless his servants, but especially the ones that are in charge, the managers, the stewards, the one who makes sure all the other servants were ready and doing the right thing. Those are the ones that are especially going to be blessed and rewarded. He says, but if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he doesn't know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. In other words, if the master comes back and finds that some of the servants, the ones in charge, the managers, have been lax in their duties, and abusing their authority, and beating the other servants, and just getting drunk and feasting off his food, they're going to receive severe punishment. They knew better. They were in places of authority. They were more responsible. He says that master will come on a day when he doesn't expect him, and an hour he doesn't know, and will cut him in pieces. That sounds pretty gruesome. I don't think, most scholars don't think it means literally chop him into pieces, because he says cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Well, if you chop him in pieces and if you literally kill him, first of all, they wouldn't normally do that to a servant, but then why would you put him with unfaithful people? He's dead. Most scholars think this is probably some sort of expression, probably referring to lashing, you know, whipping. That's what they would do with a servant. If he's unfaithful, they would slice him up in that sense, that they would whip him. And that seems to fit the passage, because he then goes on the next verse and uses the image of beating. He says, that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. He's not killed. He's not chopped up in pieces, but he's whipped or he's beaten. The idea is that the servant who maybe is at the bottom of the totem pole, he just washes dishes, he doesn't know anything. He knows that he needs to be working hard. He knows they need to be ready for when the master shows up, but he doesn't know a whole lot. But the manager, the servant who's in charge of the whole household, he's probably given more information. He has a better idea of when the master's coming back. He has a better idea of what's expected. He's going to be held more responsible. He says, the servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who didn't know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. That is that servant who didn't have as much knowledge. He's still guilty. He still wasn't ready. He still wasn't doing his job, but he didn't know as much. His punishment will not be as severe. Judgment will be based in part on our circumstances and our knowledge. So when Jesus says, get ready for my return, no, that's not just for non-Christians. That's not just for the world telling them to get ready and be saved. He's not just talking to the crowd. He was talking to the disciples as well. That we all need to be ready by staying busy doing the Lord's work. And more is going to be expected of us as believers, and especially of those apostles, because they knew more. He says, Jesus says, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they'll demand the more. That is, the more you've been taught, the more knowledge you have, the more gifts you've been given, the more opportunities you have to serve, the more it's going to be expected of you. And so the point is, we don't just get ready for Christ by trusting him and becoming Christians, as important as that is, but we also want to be ready by being busy doing the Lord's work and seizing these opportunities we have to serve in whatever way we can and using our gifts. That's why Jesus began this section by saying, stay dressed for action. It wasn't just get dressed for action, but stay dressed for, and keep your lamps burning. The idea, continue to be busy doing the Lord's work. You remember when Paul wrote the Thessalonian church? And some of the Thessalonians were apparently, they were grieving because some of their loved ones had died. And there was a fear that, well, they've died, so they've missed out on the second coming. And so, remember, Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians to reassure them that they're not going to miss out. When Christ comes back, those loved ones in the Lord will be raised up to new life. But then following that, it appears that to some of the people, the Christians in Thessalonica, took that the wrong way. Apparently, they got so excited about the thought of Christ returning that they became almost idle, like they're just sitting around waiting on Jesus to return. Almost like there was no point in doing anything else. Christ is coming any minute. And they became idle and busybodies. And so Paul then wrote another letter, 2 Thessalonians, to warn them about not being idle and busybodies, but to quietly go about their work. We're to be waiting on Christ to return, but not sitting still waiting, but busy waiting, getting ready, anticipating. Because when Christ returns, we want him to find us busy doing his work. We want him to find us serving him like good servants. We saw this morning that Christ was faithful throughout his life. That he came down, he took on flesh, he took on the form of a servant. And he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That his whole earthly ministry was one of service and ministry. In the same way, we want our lives to be lives of busy and active service, serving the Lord, so that when Christ comes again, when he appears, when we see him as he really is, when we see it, we'll see that all our troubles and problems have been worth it, that all the work and all the ministry has been worth it. We'll see him in his glory. We want him to find us busy doing his work. We want him to see us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so I want to encourage you tonight, be ready for Christ's return by staying busy with the Lord's work. All right, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you have given us gifts and opportunities to serve you in big and small ways. And we pray for the energy, for the heart, the passion, the faithfulness to stay busy serving you in whatever ways we can. That when you come again, you'll find us busy doing your work. Lord, we want to be servants that are well-pleasing to you. And we look forward to that day, that wonderful day, when you come and we can sit at table with you. Lord, we long for that and pray that you'd help us to be found faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.